We're going to jump into the word today. If you have a Bible, you can open it up to Isaiah chapter 9. And I know we talked about this in the announcements, but again, we're going to go on a 21-day beginning of the year fast together. So it starts the first Sunday in January, and we'll conclude on the third Sunday of January. So pick up your devotional to go with that, the digital copy, or go to Connections for a paper copy. Amen? All right. So I really honestly struggled this year in what to prepare for today because, you know, when, especially around church life, when you come to Easter and Christmas, there's this essence of tradition and sometimes it's hard to break through that. Not that we always should. And, but my heart wanted to bring a message this morning. That was a little bit more traditional in the aspect of Christmas, but I've just been stuck where I've been stuck. And I learned a long time ago, the best you can do is just preach from the overflow of what God's been speaking to you. So that's what we're going to continue to do this morning. I'm going to continue in where we've been hanging out about talking about the true meaning of Christmas and really why Jesus came and what that means for us. So the title of my sermon, if you're taking notes today, is What Jesus Brings. So a few weeks ago, we started on this journey of talking about what Jesus brings, and we let scripture tell us what the real meaning of Christmas is, right? And we found some scriptures like Luke 19:10 that says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." So why did Jesus come? Why do we have Christmas? Because there was that which was lost and highly valuable to God. That's you and I, right? So why did he come? To seek and to save that which was lost. 1 John 3:8. "For the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." So came to seek and to save, to destroy the works of the devil. And John 10:10, "The thief comes but to steal, kill and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly." So to seek and to save, to destroy the works of the devil and bring life and bring it more abundantly. That might go against the grain of traditional Christmas. It might push back on the concept of it being about the gifts and everything else. But really, it was God's rescue mission for humanity. It was the entrance of the promise of God to make a change in the life of a believer, not only to reconcile them back to God, but to bring with him the promise of heaven onto the earth. Amen? Amen. So as we've been preparing for our family for Christmas, we've been spending or getting ready to spend more time than normal at the Dollar Tree, right? And I don't know if you have little ones, and Sarah's like getting nervous. That's not where your gift came from, but we typically, last minute ideas, guys. I don't know if you would get any rewards for that. But what we do with our kids is we take them to Dollar Tree and we let them pick out the gifts for each other and the gifts for us as parents, because we want them to make sure that, you know, as they're going into the Christmas season, that they realize it's not just about getting, but it's about giving as well. And the interesting thing about that journey is one or two kids are very precise. Like they're beelining it. Here's what they're getting, what they're getting. And then you have the other one who's taking 5 hours to determine, does mom want the mug? And then you're trying to steer them away. Like last year, Loretta desperately wanted to get mom the fake flowers, you know, that are already like pre-faded in the Dollar Tree before you even buy them. And I'm like, but Loretta, wouldn't mom really like this? Nope. She had made up her mind that that's what Loretta had, that mom would want. So you go with it, you make it work. But we come into Christmas and we're thinking about gifts. We're thinking about what we're hopefully not just what we're getting, but what we're giving to everyone else. And you know, the beauty of it is the kids get so excited. They come home, they go hide the presents in their closet. You have to go with the younger ones and help them wrap it. And they're so excited. And when it's the one for you, you pretend like you're not looking, but really you're looking. And you know, it's just this joy of the aspect of what they get to bring to Christmas. And from such an early age to teach them that there's just as much, and if not more, excitement in bringing a gift as there is to receive a gift. It makes me think of the fact that Jesus came not just as a gift. We know that Jesus is a gift to us. He's the greatest gift, but Jesus came bringing gifts. Come on, I want you to know that today. He came bringing gifts. So Isaiah chapter 9, this is Isaiah, and he's prophesying about 600 years in advance of the coming of Christ. And he's prophesying in the midst of a time where there's gloom and darkness and despair. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he begins to make this announcement and this promise of what God is going to do for his people. And he gives us this insight, if you will, of what Jesus brings to Christmas, because obviously Jesus is enough, but we know that he brings more. He brings gifts with him. So I want to give you, and we could make this an exhaustive list, but I want to give you five this morning, five gifts that Jesus brings with him to Christmas. So if you're taking notes, the first one is Jesus brings light to darkness. Jesus brings light to darkness. For the believer, darkness has an expiration date, right? So let's open up to Isaiah 9, verse 1. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. Aren't you thankful, as the children of God, that the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever, but your time of darkness and despair has an expiration date? Come on, I've heard it said that every storm has an expiration date. You may not know what it is, only God knows what it is, but I promise you, if you hang on in faith, that storm has an expiration date. So for the people of God, darkness and despair do not go on forever. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Now, obviously, the major darkness that Jesus dispelled was the tyranny of sin and death, right? We know that he came and did away with sin and death. But I think it's interesting in that where there's one aspect where he says they will see a great light. And the next verse says he is shining a great light. There is a scholar who wrote on this, and I love what he says. He says, we have to decide what reading of our experiences we are going to live by. We have to decide what reading of our experiences we are going to live by. What does he mean by that? He means the darkness and distress can be real and is real at times in our lives, but they do not have to maintain as our reality. Darkness is real. I'm not doubting that there may be situations this holiday season in your life that you're walking through that are difficult. I'm not doubting the reality of what's happening in your world. I'm just telling you this, we choose how we read what we see. We choose how we read what we see. To those who were sitting in darkness, right? Like, that's the reality. There's darkness all around. But it says, in the midst of that, he will shine a great light. So are you seeing darkness, or are you seeing a light shining and piercing through the darkness? Come on. There's a promise, but you're going to have to look for the promise. And for everybody in this room and everybody watching online, you might be walking in darkness, but one of the gifts that Jesus brings at Christmas is he brings light to the darkness. That's why instead of approaching this holiday season, this Christmas season, as a season of sometimes, you know, because as you get older and there's more presents to buy and more kids to buy and all of those things, you know, there can be that essence of dread. But really, we should be approaching Christmas with this deep breath of relief that, you know, it's a reminder that whatever's dark in my life, there's a promise in there somewhere. I just have to look for it. There's an old story, I've said it before, but two boys begged their parents for ponies on Christmas morning. And they didn't know how they were going to happen, but they just wanted these ponies so bad. And Christmas morning, they ran down the steps, excited to see these ponies that their mom and dad were going to get them. And they looked around, and all that they saw was horse poop all over the living room floor. Mom and dad come into the living room, and the one little boy starts screaming at his mom and dad and starts saying, "How could you do this to us? This is so unfair. We ask you for ponies and you get us horse poop and put it all over the floor. That is cruel and unkind." If you're like my kids, they say, "I'm telling my teacher on you." And goes and storms up to their room. But the other kid starts searching. His mom says, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Well, if there's this much horse poop in here, then there has to be a horse in here somewhere, and I'm gonna find it. To those who sit in darkness, he will shine a great light." And though there might be things in your life and in your world this Christmas season that you wish wouldn't be this way, some problems that haven't quite unraveled yet, I promise you, the gift that Jesus brings at Christmas is into your darkness, he brings light. And he wants you to start looking for the light. Not making up fake things about your situation, pretending like it doesn't exist, but starting to say, "God, I know your promise is true. And I know that if I'm in darkness in this area of my life, I know there's a promise somewhere. And I'm scanning the horizons. I'm checking the closets. I'm looking above and beneath to find the light that shines in the darkness." One of our core values as a church is that the witness my revival. And what that means is we believe that God is always working. All we have to do is look for it. And maybe that relationship in your life isn't restored 100%, but maybe this Christmas season, you're gonna see a step forward. Celebrate that. Come on. So when we sit in darkness, we don't look at the darkness, but we look for the light. Here's another scripture, Psalms 112, verse 7. And it says, "They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord." Come on, we don't fear bad news. We don't fear darkness. We don't fear a bad report. We don't fear. Why? Because Jesus provided a promise for us at Christmas that when we sit in darkness, he brings great light. Amen? Amen. Number two, Jesus brings joy to despair. He brings joy to despair. Isaiah 9, we're going to keep going through Isaiah 9. Says this, "You will enlarge the nation of Israel and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at harvest, like warriors dividing the plunder." In one verse, we got three rejoices in there. Hey, they're going to rejoice because it's Christmas. That's what Isaiah's prophesying. Don't forget, he's prophesying about the arrival of the Messiah. And he says, when he comes, the people are going to rejoice and they're going to rejoice and they're going to rejoice. Come on, it's a happy time for the people of God. And Jesus brings abundant joy. Think about the birth narrative. Think about in Luke 1:44 where Mary goes to Elizabeth and Elizabeth says, I heard your greeting, talking to Mary. She said, "The baby in my womb leaped or jumped for joy." I don't know if you know anyone who's been pregnant. Sarah's been pregnant 4 times and never once did one of those babies jump for joy in her womb. They might have kicked, they might have rolled around, they might have, like she would say, put their heel on her bladder and just stomped for dear life, but they've never jumped. Why is that important? Because when it says the baby jumped and leaped for joy, what it's saying is that this was supernatural. This wasn't common. This took Elizabeth off guard. Like this baby jumped in my womb. Why? Because it knew that the Messiah was being birthed in Mary at that very moment. So it's supernatural joy. You know, one of the coolest things I think about Christmas is after Christmas for the believer, everything is possible. You even just think about that. You know, in the realms of your theology, that a 14-year-old virgin girl, a virgin became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Like, if you can wrap your mind about that and say, yeah, I affirm that that's how the Messiah came to earth, everything after that's possible. Like, you think that your financial situation is more difficult than a 14-year-old virgin girl receiving a pregnancy from the Holy Spirit? Come on, you all, I'm saying this to you because you already have faith. You already believe some crazy stuff. You already believe that God came down to earth in the form of a baby and was born, went to a cross that you've never seen, died where you've never seen, went into a tomb and on the third day resurrected, then you've never been there. But you sit here this morning and you affirm, I believe that. I believe that that's who Jesus is and I believe that's what Jesus did. And tell me you don't have faith to believe. Come on, somebody, you have more faith than you know. So joy can be supernatural. Joy can be supernatural. And this is a characteristic of what happens at Christmas. Mary, when she sings, my spirit rejoices in God at the angel's announcement. When the angels show up at the birth of Jesus, what do they say? We bring good news of great joy to all people. Really, Christmas is the first event in human history which God introduces supernatural joy into the life of people. Go back into the Old Testament. They would celebrate over Israel being restored or coming back into the land, but it was only soon to be run over again and they were put back into exile. This was the first time that there was this introduction into the life of a believer of supernatural joy. You might say, well, I get that, Pastor, but I don't even have my shopping done yet, right? Like, I've got more work and I'm not gonna get it done. And, you know, I'm probably not gonna be able to take a day off. And that this season seems so chaotic and I feel so discouraged. And I'm not doubting the reality of those feelings. My question is, what are you doing with them? What are you doing with those feelings? Because in the middle of what you're facing, joy is available to you. You can walk through the hardest days and the darkest nights and still have joy. Don't get joy confused with happiness. Happiness is a temporary, momentary feeling that is produced when something good or desirable happens to you. Right? Wednesday morning, those kids are going to be so excited with feelings of great joy when they open those presents. And within 30 minutes, all hell breaks loose. Kids are screaming, they're crying. I'm threatening to put them out in the fire, not the kids, the toys, and to burn them. Let me clarify. Which may or may not have happened in our house. On Christmas, one of my favorite things, after they open it all and you have the boxes and the wrapping paper, if you know anything about me, I love to burn. So my favorite thing is I gather all of that up. We open everything that there is to open and I take them outside and I burn all the wrapping paper and the boxes. But last year may have happened where it's, I promise I will take that toy and I will put it in the fire. You go to your room now. Like, you know, all that happens at Christmas. What I'm trying to say to you is, because children are children, what they're experiencing is a momentary feeling of happiness that shifts and fades. And if you're trying to live your life off of momentary feelings of happiness, that's how you'll be living. Well, they're nice to me today, so now I'm happy, and now they're not nice to me, and now I'm not happy. And you're always living in response to what other people are doing. But when you have the joy of the Lord, that's why they said, you know, the scripture that says, I've had plenty and I've had little. I've been, you know, going through the mountain. I've gone through the valley, but yet I'm satisfied. What does that mean? It means I have the joy of the Lord. Feelings of happiness are great, but it's not the core of who I am. So how do you get that joy? Well, I would recommend that you start praying a prayer often that I think is incredibly powerful. And it's from the words of Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And here's what it says, don't be dejected or sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. For those in the church, that might sound like, oh, we know that. But how about you start praying that? Father, I thank you today that your joy is my strength. I thank you, your joy is my strength. Your joy, it's supernatural joy. I don't have to see it. I don't have to know how it's all going to work out. It's supernatural joy. It is my strength. And I think when we pray prayers like that, it's incredibly powerful because we're declaring something about where our strength is coming from. We're reminding ourselves that my strength isn't coming based off of my ability. My strength isn't coming based off how people treat me or what they do to me. My strength is coming from the Lord and the Lord alone. Like the psalm that said, some may trust in chariots and some may trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God, right? It's that reminder of whatever else is going on around me. My strength comes from the joy of the Lord. How am I going to get through this season? Because your strength is from the joy of the Lord. How am I going to walk through these dark nights? Because your strength is found in the joy of the Lord. Come on. So it changes everything about the way we look at everything. I love it when Paul says to the Philippian church in Philippians 4:4, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Always be full of joy. Again, rejoice. So the joy of the Lord is a supernatural gift that Christ brings. As you head towards Christmas, I encourage you, if you're struggling with the aspect of feeling joy, I would actually compel you and encourage you in the strongest way, start declaring the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Number three that Jesus brings. Jesus brings freedom to oppression. Jesus brings freedom to oppression. Isaiah, continuing in our verse in Isaiah 9:4. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian. Here's what I want you to know at Christmas is God breaks what seeks to break us. He breaks what seeks to break us. Have you ever felt like there's just something out to get you? Something out to break you? Maybe you're here this morning and you're, you know, reflecting on the end of this year as we close out 2024, and you're thinking of the fact that, you know, here we are at the end of another year and I'm still not at my goal weight, or I still haven't broken that addiction, and you're still thinking about things that you wanted to happen and it hasn't happened yet, and there's this essence of feeling overwhelmed and defeated because you didn't break through. But I'm here to declare to you that Christ came to break what was trying to break you, to bring freedom to the oppressed. Come on, somebody. So as we journey into Christmas, we need to remind ourselves he's the one who brings freedom from oppression. As we have been talking about, why did Jesus come? To destroy the works of the devil. He came, as we said in John's gospel, to give life and life more abundantly. And that's what he wants to do for you. So this Christmas season, whatever the bondage you're facing, whatever habitual thing that has held you back and weighed you down, that's been staring at you, I'm here to say that God can bring freedom into your situation. You might say, well, I've tried year over year over year over year. Honey, then you step up and you keep fighting. You don't ever back up and ever say that it's just not meant to be. I don't care if you got to stand believing God for 50 years. He brings freedom to the oppressed. It is the gift and the promise of Christmas that those who are oppressed find freedom in Jesus. So I don't care how long I will push back my plate every January and start off with a time of prayer and fasting and declaring over a fresh year that this is the year that I will see breakthrough. This is the year that that thing is over in my life. This is the year that everything that the enemy stole from me gets restored back to me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. This is the year that when the enemy has come in and eaten like the cankerworms, that God restores it back into my life. This is the year that the addiction breaks off that I've been trying to have broken off. This is the year And you approach this year with a fresh set of vision, a fresh set of faith looking forward. Come on, somebody. You might sit in darkness, but what are you looking at? He's shining a great light, a light. Number four, Jesus brings heaven to earth. This thing just gets better and better. Continuing in Isaiah 9, verse 6, for a child is born to us and a son is given. Well, where did the son come from? Heaven, right? Like the old song, you came from heaven to earth, right? Come on, somebody. Some 90s people up in the house today. And you were real good if you knew all the hand motions to it. Now, our youth group was cool. We didn't do the hand motions because that was so uncool. But anyway, yeah, it was. Sarah knows all the hand motions. So that's what that's about. It's a whole big debate in our house. So just move on from it. Anyway, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given. And listen to this, the government will rest upon his shoulders. What government? The government of the world, right? He's the true king. He's the true ruler. He's the one who created everything that you can possibly see, right? But yet he comes into this world system, the world that he holds in the palm of his hand. Sometimes when you feel overwhelmed, look up at the aspect of the heavens and the sky and the earth. Think of the vastness of the universe. Think of the magnitude of how small you are in comparison with the galaxies that he spoke and created into existence. Think about how he says the earth is his footstool. That's the bigness and the greatness of God. And then think about your problem and your situation. You don't think a God that holds the universe in the palm of his hand, that at his word spins it all in motion. You know, they say if the earth even shifted a few degrees to the right or the left, it would end humanity on this planet forever. But our God spoke and had it be formed in such a way where he keeps all of that in motion. And you're sitting there telling me that God can't break through in your job problem, that he can't break through because of a rogue cell that's in your body. Come on, we serve a God who holds it all in the palm of his hand and brought heaven down to earth. That's the promise of Christmas. Come on. For he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The word wonderful could be translated as miraculous. In other words, God's wisdom, God's logic, God's thoughts are miraculous. The Mighty God, meaning power, powerful. His power coming from heaven to earth. Everlasting Father, the eternality of an almighty God made manifest in human form in Jesus. And the Prince of Peace, his government and its peace will never end. A peace that's never ending. Heaven's peace. Heaven's shalom coming to rest on God's people. Continuing on, he will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. That's heaven on earth. When we have Jesus, we have heaven on earth. We have the backing of heaven on earth. And number five. The gift that Jesus brings at Christmas. Jesus brings God's promise to people. God's promise to people. Continuing on Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. And this is the guarantee. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heavens, of the heaven's armies, will make this happen. Isaiah wraps this prophecy up. I love that. By saying the passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen. Come on, somebody. He's saying, watch. Watch me work. Watch me do it. All of the gifts that Jesus brings with him, all of those made manifest in your life, all of those are available to you. How do I do it? How do I get there? By trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone. He says that's how it happens. The Lord has passionately committed to make it happen in your life. God fights to make good on his promise to his children. Christmas was the entrance of these gifts into the earth. But here's the thing, I heard somebody say not long ago, and I loved it. They said, you know, we preach that Christianity is inclusive, that, you know, it's for everybody. And that's not true. Christianity is not inclusive. It's actually very exclusive. That though it's open to everybody, not everybody gets the promises, right? Like, we all come in the same way by believing in Jesus and Jesus alone. But Jesus came to earth and brought some gifts with him. And though it's available to everybody, how you get them is exclusive. You get them by an activation of your faith, believing that you will receive them through Jesus and Jesus alone. So God fights to make good on his promise for his people who are receiving those gifts by faith. Now let me tell you something. God doesn't half-heartedly approach your peace. He doesn't work half-heartedly about his power being manifested in your life. He's not half-hearted about you experiencing real joy in your life. That's why he says his commitment is to enforce the armies of heaven to bring this to pass in your life. Like, just think about this for a second. Even when the birth of Jesus happened and angels are singing, silent night, there's shepherds and the little drummer boy playing his drum and the majestic scene, there was, on the other side of that, a full out assault against that promise being made manifest in the earth. Herod, upon hearing of the star from the wise men when they told him of it, ordered that every baby under the age of 2 years should be slaughtered and killed in an effort to stop the promise of God from being made manifest in the earth. Don't worry about it. God had a plan. He told Joseph in another dream, get up, get out of here. Herod seeks to destroy you. Go over to here. You'll be safe. And then once that was done and Herod was dead, God told him, get up. Now go back over to here. My point is, there's always been an attack from the adversary to stop the promise of God from being made manifest in your life. And just as we sing the Christmas carols, it was actually a very bloody, traumatic Christmas. And sometimes when you're leaning into the promise of God, you know, you have to get that grit about your life where the devil doesn't want me to walk in joy. He doesn't want me to have the shalom, the peace of God, be made manifest in my life. But I have to rise up in faith on the inside of me and say, but that's not what Christmas was manifested for. Christmas came that I could walk in the peace of God, that I could walk in the joy of God, that heaven would be on my side. That's what Christmas was about. So I have to stand up, push back against the adversary, stand in faith, believing I'll receive everything the Lord has for me. Listen to 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. All the promises of God find their yes in him. Thomas Brooks wrote on that, and he says, God pays as he promises. All his payments are made in pure gold. I love that. It means it's guaranteed. So do you need power this Christmas season? And team, you can come. Can I submit to you? Power's available. Do you need peace in your life? It's available. Do you need his presence? It's available. Do you need to meet with God? He wants to meet with you. He says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Do you need joy? He's ready to give it. Do you need strength? He knows how to supply it. Come on, somebody. So these are the gifts that Jesus brings at Christmas: light into the darkness, joy into despair, freedom from oppression, heaven on earth, and God's promises to his people. So let's stand to our feet. I want to pray over you and for you this Christmas season. I feel like we've just hit something in the spirit, if you will, as we've been working through the book Confronting the Thief in our sermons, and it really has just done something to me in just pushing back areas of my life where I've just said, well, that's just me. I always have blue Mondays or sad Tuesdays. I'm just using that as an example. But you know, you don't have to have a blue Monday anymore. Your Tuesdays don't have to be sad. Right? We can confront the adversary and push back and receive all the promises of God. And I'm determined to not wait till January 1st rolls around to say, all right, now here we go. Why waste another day going around the mountain? Why waste another day in sadness? Don't wait till January 1st. I said that we need to be running into January full of faith, full of victory, full of passion, full of the fire of God. Like 2025 has no idea what's coming for it. Like you know, we say, well, I don't know what awaits for me. It doesn't know what's waiting for it. Because we've got some redeemed children of God ready to take by force the promises of God in this upcoming year. Come on, somebody. So even now, today, we cast our care upon him. We cast our burden over to him. There are some things that we can fix and some things we can't. And if you've been struggling under the weight of some things that you just can't fix, some children, some loved ones, some relationships, some job situations, financial circumstances, and this Christmas season, you felt like they're weighing you down and it's been so heavy and it's been hard. Then today we make this declaration that we cast those cares to him. And we say to you, Father, there's nothing we can do about these situations. So what do? We trust in you. Others will trust in chariots and horses and the ways of this world. But I, Father, trust in you. So what we laid down at the altar today, we say, Lord, you deal with it and you fix it. And all I'm gonna do is I'm gonna stand in here and I'm gonna worship, trusting that you're gonna do what you said you would do, trusting that you're gonna provide what you said you would provide when you came to earth 2,000 years ago. And you brought not only yourself, but you brought some incredible gifts for the people of God. So I lay them down, my cares and my burdens at the altar. And I say, I receive your joy, I receive your peace, and I receive your power. Now, if you're in this room this morning or you're watching online and you say, Pastor, I've never made a decision where I make Jesus Lord of my life, that if I died today, I don't know for sure where I'm going. The greatest gift that he brought at Christmas was salvation. And that's when he said, all who would believe in me would have access to heaven. Today you can make the best decision of your life, and that's to put your faith and belief in Jesus and Jesus alone. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, that you'll be as sure for heaven as if you're already there. So I want to give you an opportunity this morning to receive the best Christmas gift that there ever is, and that's the gift of salvation that's offered to all. And if you're here and you say, Pastor, I've never done that before, but I want to receive that today, I'm going to count to three. I want you to slip your hand up. Every head's going to be bowed, every eye closed, because I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to signify that you're praying this prayer. And after you do that, we're all going to pray this prayer together, and at the conclusion of that prayer, if you believe it with all of your heart, you'll be assured for heaven. So if that's you today, go ahead and slip up your hand. Ready? 1, 2, 3. If that's you and you want to say yes to Jesus, slip your hand up. I see you. If you're watching online even, just put your hand up. I see you. Go ahead and put your hand down. We're going to pray this prayer together. Say, Father, I stand before you now, and I see that I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. And I acknowledge and believe in my heart that you are the only way to heaven. So I ask you today to forgive me for my sins, cleanse me from my unrighteousness, and save me. I'll surrender my life to you, and I'll live every day for your glory. Now I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that I'm saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's put your hands together for every person who's prayed that prayer. Now, if you did pray that prayer, we want to put some resources into your hand because there's a journey ahead, and that journey looks like you receiving those promises into your life. So we just want to put a box into your hand to help you get started on that journey of some resources. Stop by Connection, scan the QR code. If you prayed that prayer online, go to the Know God tab and we will get that to you. But I believe this Christmas, let's walk in all of that he has for us. Let's run into this new year full of faith and victory. Are you ready for that?